The following broadcast is released under a Creative Commons license.
I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. I believe he lived and died, and that he rose again. I believe and trust in him. Ascended into heaven, Christ our living head, will one day come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe and trust in him. I will trust in my Redeemer, sing of his love that lasts forever, know his full and sure salvation. I will trust in him. Oh, the world falls around me, I rest and know that he has found me. Christ the rock is my foundation. I will trust in him, I will trust in him.
Welcome all to Pastor Yeshua. You've been listening to Creed by Richard Jensen from his album, Order of Service. By way of introduction, Pastor is an acrostic which stands for Preaching All Salvation Through One Redeemer. Our Redeemer, Yeshua, Jesus, is the Hebrew name for the Lord. It means Yahweh, the Lord, is salvation. Translated from Hebrew into the Greek language, the name Yeshua becomes Jesus. The English transliteration for Jesus is Jesus. This program deals with apologetics, questions on and about God, the Bible, and the Christian faith. I take questions and seek by Scripture to give answers and encouragement for everyone, including the tough-minded living in today's skeptical society. And now, let's join Pastor Yeshua. Welcome to Pastor Yeshua. In this episode series, I turn our attention to yet another article from another author who, like many, find it necessary to critique Christianity. Now, I'm not suggesting that Christianity or the Bible should be off limits to questions or critique. But what I would prefer is that when we question or critique, we are at least honest to identify what worldview and what biases we are using as our premise. Such is the case with a recent internet article I discovered entitled, quote, Uncomfortable Realities, 21 Insights About Christianity That May Challenge Beliefs, unquote. As the title suggests, the author presents 21 issues which apparently he believes challenge the beliefs of Christianity. What is instructive about reviewing the 21 issues is that, as a Christian of multiple decades now, I find that these 21 issues are largely, if not entirely, identical with the same issues which countless people have lodged over hundreds, if not thousands of years. Not only are these issues well known to anyone who pays attention to the subject, but more importantly, the answers which solve these supposed issues have been repeatedly given time and time again. That being the question, you have to start asking, what's going on? Why do we continue to ask the same questions and pretend as though there are no answers? Because clearly this article doesn't give any answers. It simply launches the question as if Well, there is no answer. And thus, because there is no answer, we should all just throw up our hands, burn our Bible, and become atheists. Yet the fact of the matter is, they have been asked, they have been answered, and apparently they're being ignored. So again, what goes on? Well, I think that the issue is we're not being intellectually honest. We're pretending as if there are no answers, and all there are questions, and we don't want to entertain any answers. And if there are any answers, we're certainly not going to accept what those answers are. But despite this, the fact of the matter remains, the questions have been asked, the answers have been provided, and in this episode I intend to address each of these issues presented by the author and to provide yet again a biblical world explanation for each. Let's pray. Father, I pray that this podcast series would serve by your authority and truth to rebut the complaints presented by those who lack spiritual discernment. Lord, I pray that this would serve to equip those who listen to see past the worldly confusion, which serves to cause these questions to the authority of your word, which passes all understanding. Lead us now by your Holy Spirit into all truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, here's a spoiler alert to the author and to anyone else who tends to find any of the following 21 issues compelling. I'm going to give you a Cliff Notes version containing the core reasons that these 21 supposed issues exist to begin with. Number one. The author is starting from finite man as the authority for meaning, morals, truth, and reality. Number two, the author forgets or ignores that there's an enemy, Satan, who exists as the author of confusion and lies, who seeks to kill, to rob, and to steal, as well as to thwart the plan of God. Number three, the author forgets that man's unregenerate nature is to sin and to rebel against God and to do what is right in our own eyes. Number four, the author forgets that God is 100% perfect in all of his attributes and not just the ones which man approves of. And number five, the author forgets that God is sovereign over all things, including man. With this summary in mind, let's turn to the author's opening statement in the article. Quote, Christianity, one of the world's largest religions, boasts over 2.3 billion adherents. While it provides spiritual guidance and solace to countless individuals, it also carries its share of complex and challenging truths that many find uncomfortable to confront. In this article, we'll delve into 21 harsh truths about Christianity that may unsettle some, but also prompt critical reflection and dialogue, unquote. Here, even in the opening lines, the author exposes the fact that he starts his premise from finite man. Hence, there is no actual God who exists and who has revealed himself to man. Instead, Christianity is just another worldly religion invented by man, for man, with no other point than to give man some pretended meaning to existence. In this vein, the invention of Christianity provides a sense of, quote, spiritual guidance and solace, unquote, in a world that is nothing but random chance and accident. Of course, even though it is an invention, the fact that certain absolutes are presented in Christianity unsettles and goes against the grain of man who wants to be autonomous and to do what is right in his own eyes. Perhaps the, quote, uncomfortable reality, unquote, is that it is the author who is caught up in the above five core issues and who is the problem and not biblical Christianity. But let's be patient and examine the 21 issues posed by the author before we pass judgment. Issue number one, diverse interpretations. The author states, quote, Christianity is not a monolithic belief system. It comprises numerous denominations and sects, each with its unique interpretations of Scripture and theology. This diversity can lead to disagreements and even division among believers, unquote. Whoa, wait a minute. Does the existence of counterfeit money, counterfeit currency, cause division and disagreements with those who are in possession of cash in their wallets? Does the differences of how people interpret the meaning of art, poetry, music, cause people to abandon these areas of interest? No. In fact, nobody even asks these questions about those issues because people don't attribute diversity, division, and disagreements as being a problem in the above areas of interest. Instead, they correctly attribute the problem to people who have different personalities and who can look at the same identical object and walk away with 1,001 definitions. Christianity and God's Word, the Bible, are in fact a collective record of God's revelation to man in the form of 66 books by 40 authors. The Bible provides a unified message of creation, fall, redemption, and restoration with one monolithic central figure, Jesus, who is the focus. A great amount of the quote-unquote differences amount to nothing more than minor, non-essential issues which do not affect the essentials of who God is, salvation, or the person of Jesus Christ. And the remaining issues which are of importance and which do point to disagreement and division are not the fault of God, His Word, or Christianity. Instead, the fault correctly goes back to the two of the core reasons already stated above. Namely, number one, the author forgets or ignores that there is an enemy, Satan, who exists as the author of confusion and lies, and who seeks to kill, to rob, and to steal, as well as to thwart the plan of God. And number two, the author forgets that man's unregenerate nature is to sin and to rebel against God and to do what is right in our own eyes. Both of these issues are revealed by God's Word, and the resultant confusion and divisions are predicted. Given this, the existence of quote-unquote diverse interpretations is not proof that God, God's Word, or Christianity is faulty. Rather, it is proof that as God predicted, quote, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it, unquote. Issue number two, inconsistent biblical interpretation. The author states, quote, the Bible is subject to varied interpretations, making it challenging to establish a singular, universal accepted meaning for its verses. This has fueled theological debates and schisms throughout Christian history, unquote. Well, what the author either doesn't know or is purposely ignoring is that the Bible was originally written in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. It has since been interpreted into Latin, English, and all of the languages which exist today. Each of the original languages must use one, if not several, subsequent words to correctly and fully represent the idea behind the original language. But simply because the Bible has been translated into more than 700 languages does not mean that there are 700 varied interpretations which disagree with one another and the original. Instead, it simply means that the same message has been translated into 700 languages, all of which provide the same message. The author would like to present any varied interpretation of the Bible as being the fault of the Bible, its authors, and ultimately God. To be more accurate, the hidden assumption here is that if there was a God, then every single human being would clearly understand the Bible, and the Bible would have been written in some kind of magical digital code which is impossible to reinterpret, misunderstand, or reject. Well, this kind of naive sophistry reveals the reality that the issue is not God, His Word, or Christianity. Instead, the issue which ultimately causes schisms is that when man approaches God's Word, all too often he does so by violating one or more of the above five core issues. This does not mean that the original inspired message is not present or cannot be understood. No, to the contrary, the original inspired message can be clearly understood using proper hermeneutical rules of exegesis by God's grace and by adopting five core values which reverse the above five core issues at hand. Namely, number one, submit to God as the ultimate authority for meaning, morals, truth, and reality. Number two, remember that there is an enemy, Satan, who exists as the author of confusion and lies, and who seeks to kill, to rob, and to steal, as well as to thwart the plan of God. Number three, seek after Christ and His indwelling Holy Spirit, which give us a new nature, discernment, and will lead us into all truth. Number four, remember that God is 100% perfect in all of His attributes, and not just the ones which man approves of. And then finally, five, submit to God, who is sovereign over all things, including man. So, having said this, let's be honest and remember that not everyone who claims to be Christian is so simply because of a title or a claim. Jesus predicted that many would come in His name and that many would be misled. This fact does not prove that God, God's Word, or Christianity is faulty. As stated, it simply means that Jesus was right, that Jesus is God, and that the five core issues which are at fault are in fact true. Issue number three, historical controversies. Here the author states, quote,
Christianity's past is marked by a series of controversies, including the Crusades, the Inquisition, the persecution of heretics. These dark chapters raise questions about the religion's history and its adherence to its core values, unquote. Okay, can we talk about that historically there was a dark history in medicine when people believed in voodoo, the use of leeches, bloodletting, no use of sanitation, etc.? Does any of this, quote, raise questions as to the core values of medicine? Does the history of those who believed in a flat earth raise questions as to the core values of geology? And to these we could add many others, but the answer would still be the same. In fact, it doesn't matter whether we find one or 1,000 people who would qualify as horrible figureheads in the, quote, dark chapters of medicine or geology. No, no matter how many we find, the result is still the same. What's that? Medicine and geology are necessary and wonderful. All of this simply points out the disingenuousness and the hypocrisy of those with an axe to grind. Of course we never question the integrity and the genuineness of medicine or geology. But when it comes to Christianity or the broader umbrella of religion, then history, and particularly dark history, are the useful straw man arguments used to cause the baby to get thrown out with the bathwater. Once again, the quote-unquote controversies and the quote-unquote dark chapters are the proof that if God exists, and if the Bible is true, and if Christianity is valid, then no evil would be possible. Once again here, the quote-unquote controversies and the quote-unquote dark chapters are the quote-unquote proof, according to the author and others like him, that if God exists, and if the Bible is true, and if Christianity is valid, then no evil should ever be possible. Therefore, because we see evil and it exists, oh, it must be God's fault. And predictably, the author and those who defer to this kind of rationale fall prey to a logical fallacy. The fallacy is that the controversies and the dark chapters are a result of Christianity, which is flawed. Well, why? Well, because either this or we must face up to the reality that the five core issues listed above earlier are true. And if the five core issues are true, then oh no, it's man who's the problem and not God. Worse yet, the author must come to terms with the fact that God, the Bible, and Christianity all reveal and predict that the five core issues are the truth and are at the heart of the problems that this author is bemoaning. Now, issue number 4, theological conflicts. The author states here, quote, theological debates within Christianity have often been intense, resulting in divisions such as the Protestant Reformation. This ongoing internal strife can be unsettling for believers seeking unity, unquote. So here, the author and others love to throw out undefined, warm and fuzzy buzzwords like, quote unquote, unity, in order to say that because there is not some universal Borg-like cloning of every individual on earth, to believe and to live exactly the same way, that it must be because Christianity is faulty. Oh yes, further, once again, the debates and the divisions must be the fault of God, the Bible, and Christianity. Could it not be that once again the problem is a man who is violating one or more of the five core issues above? Yes, the author is also laboring under the delusion that quote-unquote unity is always a good thing, and that as such, we should pursue quote-unquote unity at all costs, even if it includes changing or eliminating parts or the entirety of the Bible, Christianity, and or religion. The fact remains that if there is a God and if the Bible is God's word, then it is God defining and controlling quote-unquote unity to himself, and not some idea or ideas which man can manage to agree and unify to, which then defines who God is, assuming man can agree to allow God to exist at all. The truth is that there is a real and present danger that the quote-unquote unity for which man is seeking will ultimately be man's demise. We see this detailed in history with the Tower of Babel, and we see it predicted in Revelation in a period of time on earth where unregenerate man will happily unify under leadership of a one-world government controlled by one man who is the Antichrist. The fact is that when this happens, yes, there will be quote-unquote unity, because one, it will be forced, and two, the church, i.e. Christians, will have been all removed from the earth by Christ. This also points out that the conflicts and divisions now are as a result of unregenerate man, sin, and the enemy, Satan. The reason that the author and the world do not see this is because they have no discernment. They have no discernment because they do not have the mind of Christ. They do not have the mind of Christ because they are not Christian, and they remain lost in their nature of sin and rebellion. For the time being, this concludes this episode. Now, if you have any questions about God, the Bible, or the Christian faith, I encourage you to write me an email at pastor_yeshua@yahoo.com. That's pastor_yeshua@yahoo.com. Thank you for listening. The world falls around me, I rest and know that.